This is Confidence on the Go with your host, the pink-loving, unicorn-chasing, caffeine-fueled student of fitness and confidence, Trish Blackwell. This is a podcast community that celebrates life and pursues living a life worth telling a story about. You have uncommon potential within you, and you're in the right place to unleash it. Here's your host, Trish.
Hey guys, it's Trish, and this is Confidence on the Go, podcast episode number 67. Today's show is entitled, I Want Typos. Before we dive into today's message, obviously I want to welcome you to Confidence on the Go. If this is your first time, I want you to know that we are a podcast community that is jazzed up about helping and celebrating one another just become the best version of themselves possible. Because it's when we are the best version of ourselves that we are best able to love and give the world the impact that we're meant to leave. And so it's not about this just all about you and building up yourself and your dreams. Yes, that's part of what I'm talking about in my show and what I do talk about in this community, but really we do that with the purpose of being better for others in making ourselves the best version of ourselves that we can be so that we can better love, serve, honor, and just help the world around us. So today's show, like I told you, is talking about I Want Typos. And that's kind of a strange title, and I picked it for a reason because, well, I am a writer. But before we even get into that, I'm going to ask a favor of you today. I just have a small favor, and I'm going to start the show off differently in the future. We're going to give this a go for a couple of weeks and see how it goes. But if you've been a listener of the show for more than 3 episodes, please consider doing me the kindness of writing a review in iTunes. Writing reviews, reviews are essentially how the show gets seen. And so it's how it gets ranked in the ranking order of a show in iTunes is 100% how people stumble upon the show. So if you stumbled upon the show yourself, and if you've ever gotten anything beneficial from my show, I just ask that you do this not just for me, but for the people who are out there looking for a resource and just don't know where to find it. They need to see the show ranked higher. They need to see your feedback and your experience. So if my show has provided you any sort of encouragement whatsoever, I ask that you love on future listeners by going today and leaving a review. We're currently at 224 five-star reviews, which is amazing. And I thank everybody out there that's already written a review. But I'm going to be, like I said, start something new on the show. I want to honor and thank you for leaving reviews. I want to give a shout out of thanks to everyone who writes a review. I'm going to start that by today by thanking the most recent reviews, who is KB in Austin, Lambkins2, Bobby3000 Roland, and Lily355. For your views. Thank you guys. It's because of you that new listeners have found the show and found some encouragement and motivation for their week. So thank you. But okay, so now let's dive into the message that I'm talking about today. So this idea of typos, like as a writer, you might think I'm crazy to say that I want typos. But I can say that I do because I've experienced what typos really mean. I have experienced firsthand what it feels like to make mistakes publicly and to actually not feel like they were detrimental, but that they were launch pads for the future of your success. As a writer, as far as writers go, like a typo is your worst case scenario. That is your nightmare scenario. In a prideful sense, it's a way to say, gosh, I can't spell, or my editor was no good, or essentially it all still comes back on you no matter what the reason for the typos are. But you know what I like about typos, and the reason I wanted to talk to you about them today, is that if you wait for everything to be perfect, you will never take action on putting yourself out there in life. And so typos, or whatever creative process imperfection that your work, creative work, or your life's work, or just your personal appearance, whatever it is that is your quote-unquote typo, whatever is holding you back out of fear, I want you to embrace them today. I want you to know that typos are a sign that you're putting yourself out there. And by putting yourself out there, that is action. Action is a type of intelligence that, according to Napoleon Hill, and we talked about this in episode number 66, is of the utmost intelligence. Action is how we become who we're meant to be. We don't become who we're supposed to be by just waiting for it to happen. You've got to take action. If you want something to change, gosh, you guys, you got to change something. And, you know, so I wanted to talk about action today, honestly, because this topic came up because I was having a great conversation with my good friend, Angie, and you have heard her on the show before. She's the creator of the Maima movement and Bamboo Bodies, and she's out on the West Coast right now, but amazing friend and an amazing person in the fitness industry. But she called me this week and she said, and she calls me Trisha, not Trish, and she said, Trisha, you changed my week the other week. Like, you had helped me have a huge breakthrough and you don't even know it. And I said, what? What do you mean? And she said, I was thinking back and I realized, I'm like, gosh, what are you doing? What is it that gets you to do and be so proactive and get out there and change so many lives? And she said, and then I realized what it was. I was like, and I'm like on the edge of my seat going, well, what did I do? I don't even know what I did. And she said, you're not unwilling to make typos. And then she said, please don't take that the wrong way. I'm like, oh my gosh, no, I know I make mistakes. I know that some of the images or graphics or things on my website that I put out could be better. But that could be better is what keeps us from putting anything out there. That's exactly what Angie said. She goes, I want to live my life and I want to run my business in such a way that I have typos. And obviously that means figuratively, we don't want to have typos, but what if you could have that attitude of, I want to live so that I have typos. I'm going to live this way and make it happen because I'm going to stop putting off. I'm going to stop buying into this perfectionism idealism that I've subscribed to that is leading me nowhere, not enabling me to really make an impact on the people's lives that deserve it and need it. Okay, so, you know, because Angie got this idea into my mind, I really wanted to talk about action today. Not only because I mentioned it last week in episode number 66 is the single most defining factor that distinguishes me from other people in my industry, but because action, I would really say that it is the key to my success. Action is also, maybe more importantly, the key to my confidence. And then finally, action is one of the keys to my happiness. We can't undervalue the value of action. I think sometimes we think it's just only solely associated with the pursuit of a business goal, the pursuit of a career dream, or maybe it's taking action on that first half marathon you've thought about signing up for. No, it's so much more than that. Action encompasses part of our character. It is who we are. And if you really, like I said, want to be the best version of you possible, if you want to become the you that you can be tomorrow, it requires action out of you today. And the reason your confidence and your happiness will grow as you take that action is because you start seeing yourself for who you really are. You start seeing possibilities and capabilities and potential that you didn't knew, like you hoped that you had within you, but you didn't necessarily know. And that's what action does. Action brings your potential to life. But I got to tell you about this whole typo deal, right? So let me tell you the story of my first edition of my very first book. And that book is called The Skinny Sexy Mind, The Ultimate French Secret. It released in 2011, and many of you have read it. If you've not yet read it, I think it's a great read. It's my first book, so there's obviously, now I look back and I say, I would change that or change this, but not really, because I wrote that book in that place where I was, and it matters, and it's changed lives. But let me tell you this story. Let me walk you through my pain of my first real experience with putting myself out there and experiencing literal typos. So I was battling back and forth of when to put the book out, and I had been working with a literary agent, and we were going to go the traditional publishing route. Unfortunately, at that point in my business, I had not yet built up strong enough of a community or a platform to really get the eye of these big publishing houses. And I got great feedback from places like Harper's Collins and Rodale, Yet they said, ah, she's just too new of a rider. We can't take her on. So after about a year of deliberation and a lot of just frustration, I remember one really pivotal conversation between my then boyfriend and now husband, Brandon, and I said, I don't know what to do. I've written this book. I really believe it's going to change lives. And nobody's giving me a chance. And he said something that changed my path forever. He said, well, just publish it. Why don't you self-publish that? And I said, well, no, because I don't do that. I went to a boarding school and I went to a great college and I'm not going to take that route, the self-publishing route. How ridiculous. And he said, wow, that's a lot of pride. I thought you wrote this book for others and to change other people's lives, not for your own pride or to see who published you while you're sitting on what's on a bookshelf. Do you care more about who helped get that book on the bookshelf or if that book is actually on the bookshelf and in the hands of people who need to read it? And he was right. I had to get my ego out of the way. So I ended up self-publishing and I hired a couple of editors. And whether it was their fault or my fault, the editing failed. So I got my first copies out, probably 200 or 300 copies went out. And I was so excited. Gosh, I haven't had a baby yet. So it's an unfair analogy in comparison, but I can only imagine that this feels like having a baby. You are, when you write a book and you publish it, you are birthing out the very essence of your soul. And you feel naked and vulnerable and anxious and protective. So you can imagine my surprise and my alarm when I started getting back all this feedback from people who really cared about me saying, hey, Trish, there's quite a number of typos in here. So I looked at them I was at a crossroads. There were probably 100 typos throughout the book. It's a 300-page book, but that's not acceptable. And so I cried for 3 days, like literally just cried, hid in my house. I mean, obviously took action and said, okay, something has to be done. I hired a new editor. I got Brandon involved. He worked through it as well. We spent probably 2 or 3 full weeks redoing everything that we could. And we got that second edition out there. But the thing is that the new copies out there, all is well. But the lesson that I learned is that during that interim, during that period, that month possibly, where there was a faulty copy out there with typos, wouldn't you know that that month was the most pivotal month that I got the most feedback from people, whether they were at eating disorder centers or had some just major body confidence issues and had stumbled upon the book on Amazon, that they wrote and contacted me and said that book had changed their life and changed their perspective. And when I look back and I think, gosh, what if I had waited that extra month or 2 months to get it out there? And timing wise, those people that really needed to read it wouldn't have come across it at the right time of their lives. So at the end of the day, the only thing that's on the line here, if you're willing to work through a typo, is your ego, is letting go of your ego and remembering that why you do what you do isn't for yourself. It's for others. And you know, that story and that lesson, gosh, it still brings me a little bit of pain. But in retrospective, it's one of the best things that could have ever happened to me because it literally, I have such a concrete example of saying, okay, so Trish, what's the worst case scenario if you take action on this a little preemptively? What is your worst case scenario? As a writer, it's typos. So if the worst case scenario has already happened to me and I didn't just get through it, but I thrived through it and other people did too. And the message of the book reached people and changed lives. Well, then what do you have to lose? And the answer is you really don't have anything to lose. So typos to me represent action. They represent a willingness to go out and seize life and stop waiting for the right timing or the right moment or for really what most of us struggle with is waiting for it to be perfect. Because guys, it's never going to be perfect, period. You need to accept that. You need to know that. And you need to stop using that as an excuse. It's never going to be perfect. You know, we already talked about this. We talked about this. I mentioned him earlier and I mentioned him in last week's episode, but Napoleon Hill, his quote has really resonated with me the last couple weeks. And he says that action is the real measure of intelligence. And I want you to be able to take action today. Whatever that action means to you, I want today to be the day that you go, I'm going to take action because I'm not afraid of typos anymore. I'm not afraid of typos. I'm willing to put my ego at bay and say that I'm willing to step forward because stepping forward is more important than worrying about whatever metaphorical typo I'm waiting and dreading. I found a great quote today, actually, that works in so well to today's episode that I want to share it with you as well. It's from Leonardo da Vinci. And he says, "It has long since come to my attention that people of accomplishment rarely sat back and let things happen to them. They went out and happened to things." That is so good. That's so good. Like, I have to read it to you again. "It's long since come to my attention that people of accomplishment rarely sat back and let things happen to them. They went out and happened to things." And guys, if that's the one thing you take from today's episode, I hope that you say and ask yourself, how can I go out and happen to things? That's what I want to do. I want you to be a mover. I want you to be a shaker. I want you to take action. I want you to be somebody who's defined by action. Action is how we live out who we are. You can't be who you are until you act out who you are. So stop waiting to become the you that you want to be. To be the you that you're meant to be, it takes acting as if you are who you are meant to be. And that takes action. That takes stepping outside of your comfort zone. That takes doing something different. That takes being open to typos. And the key to action is being willing to make mistakes along the way. These mistakes, we get so wrapped up. But just like my typo story with my book, my first book, The Skinny Sexy Mind, they happen. And they're fixable. I think that's where the confidence comes into the idea, this equation that we're talking about, this action equation, so to speak. Confidence gives us the ability to believe and truly, like in our heart of hearts, know that whatever happens, whatever mistakes, whatever quote unquote typos come our way, that we're adaptable. That we can change them, we can modify, we can roll with the punches, and we have this adaptability to us. Mistakes are not going to be the end of you unless you let them be. More often than not, the fear of mistakes is the end of most everybody because they never take action on anything because they're so freaking afraid. So my question for you is, how do you know when you need to put it out there? Like, how do you know when it's like, okay, like, I've done enough prep. This is the best I can do right now. And I'm just going to go move forward on this dream. Another way to think about that question is, how can you really break free from this perfectionism that plagues so many of us, this perfectionism that we use as an excuse? And my answer to that is a quote from Stephen Pressfield. And he wrote that the more fear we feel about a specific enterprise, the more certain we can be that that enterprise is important to us and the growth of our soul. So the more fear you feel, the more of a sign it is that you are in the right arena, going and pursuing the right things and needing to go do that. And it's essentially important for the growth of your soul. Like, the things that matter that you're most afraid of doing right or wrong are the things you really need to do because those are the things that matter the most to you. And when you live out the things that matter, you are living out your heart. You are living out the character of who you are meant to be. So walking away from this, I've already told you, I want you to be able to say that you went out and made things happen. But I can't leave you hanging today. I absolutely have to give you some insight on how to go happen to things, how to actually take action. Most people struggle immensely with this part. I probably could hazard a guess, and most of you out there are saying, "Well, Trish, I've wanted to be an action taker. It's been my intention. I just don't know how to do it." And just the other day, I was actually having a conversation with one of my good friends, and he and I are actually working on a project together, and he's delayed it a little bit. And he wrote me back this email that was just honest. And he said, "Gosh, you know, Trish, I'm really great and amazing at getting the first 95% of something completed. Like, I can rock it out. I'm confident. It rolls out. It's just like easy and like butter. It's just natural and easy and just fun for me. But then I'm terribly catastrophic at that last 5%. there's something about that last 5%, Trish, that I procrastinate. I put it off. It just can't get it done. And I think that's a lot of us. What is it about that 5%? Is that 5% really that much harder or more difficult to follow through and complete than the first 95%? No, it's not. That 5%, I think, I would hazard a guess to say most of that 5% is the mere simple fear of completing something and putting yourself out there and doing an action. 5% of fear is going to prevent your 95% of work and preparation from getting out there. And I think that's crap. I don't think you have to live that way. I obviously don't live that way. I make typos. And the typos don't kill me. And they're not going to kill you either. So here are 11 ways. I have 11 ways for you today to really start happening to life, to start taking that 5%, shoving it down, hugging the fear and saying, I'm not afraid. I'm going to do this. I'm going to complete it because I'm somebody that completes something. And here's a bonus. This is a bonus step. It's not even number 12 in the top 11. I didn't even create 12. This is your bonus. Your first way to start taking action is to start identifying yourself as somebody who does take action. Period. I'm somebody that gets stuff done. That came across a couple years ago when I was trying to come up with so-and-so, you know, my elevator pitch, so to speak. And somebody said to me, I was working with some coworkers. And I said, gosh, I don't know. What do you think? What should I say? What's the best way to describe what I do? And my good friend Mo, who you've heard on the podcast show before, one of the very, very earliest episodes, she said, well, you should say this. And please excuse my French here. She says, this is what she's told me to say. She said, my name's Trish Blackwell and I get shit done. And I was like, that's brilliant. And so I'm going to change the first word to a stuff done. But what if I mean, that changed everything for me. That gave me so much confidence. I took what Mo had said to me, took her recommendation. And I said, okay, what if I really every day wake up and say, today's a new day, and my name's Trish Blackwell, and I get stuff done. I get stuff done. I don't always have to know how to get it done, but I get stuff done. So that's your bonus tip in this really how do you start taking action? Well, realign your identity to say that you are so-and-so. Say your name, say your full name, and you get stuff done. But here are the 11 steps I would walk you through today that I really do want you to take away. And if you want to get to the list, you can find these in my show notes. And show notes are always found at trishblackwell.com/podcasts. So number one, decide to start taking more action. It's a simple decision. Step number two, create a plan. Know what you're aiming at. Don't just start taking action on everything. Pick one thing. I think sometimes when we get so fired up, we start taking action, then we spread ourselves too thin. We take ourselves too horizontally rather than vertically. So create a plan for one thing, one theme or one dream or one particular goal, and go after that one thing. Step number three, keep your daily plan short. So every day you wake up, you're going to take three action steps towards that dream. Just pick it, keep it to three. What are the three most important things I need to accomplish in order to move forward on this dream? And number four, keep your know that the small steps count. So these daily three things, they can be very small things. You've got to celebrate the small steps because the small steps are the only steps. There are no big steps here. They're all small steps. And sometimes we do take action, but we don't give ourselves proper credit. And so we aren't able to buy into that action momentum that happens. Because if you're not crediting yourself, you're thinking, gosh, I'm not doing anything. I'm not moving anywhere. This is, who was I to think? Blah, blah, blah. But if you start celebrating your small steps, you're going to realize, well, wait, I really am someone who gets stuff done. I really am taking action. I can really follow through. I can really step forward when I'm not sure what the next step is. And then step number five is simply start. Start. Sometimes you can start and go the wrong way, but that's okay. At least you started. All you got to do is turn yourself around or redirect yourself. Start. Don't Oh my gosh, don't underestimate the value of just simply starting and deciding to do something. Deciding and then taking that next step, that action. Number six, be accountable to yourself. And I am accountable to myself, and I work with my one-on-one clients the same way as creating simple goals. We've got three goals. You've got your three daily goals and then your three weekly goals. Write them down. Have a journal, write them down, keep track of them, and then check them off. It's going to keep yourself accountable. Number seven, for taking action, be accountable to others. I work with more than a handful of clients who literally hire me for confidence coaching strictly for accountability. I meet with them once a month, and we set up goals for the month, and we talk about the successes of last month. I'll tell you what, that in and of itself is invaluable. And that's why those people are working with me in that capacity. And I tell you that not because I'm looking for more clients, but I tell you that because I know it works. Whether you work it with me or with anybody else that literally can say, I'm holding your feet to the flame and this is what we're doing. You told me this is your goal. You've told me these are your three. We've decided what are three most important things for the week, three most important things for each month are. Okay, so now you're going to report back to me. Accountability does wonders. I mean, a big secret of the personal training industry and the fitness industry is that it's really not about the workouts. It's about the accountability. Yeah, are the workouts important? Of course. Is the nutrition important? Absolutely. But what gets the most results? Having somebody care. Having that accountability. So set yourself up for that. If you really are serious today, find an accountability partner, whether that's in me or in somebody else. Step number eight, remember that you don't have to have all the answers. You're not going to have all the answers. Just step out and have the confidence to know that you will figure out the answers as you go. Number nine, know that it's not how you feel, it's what you do. Sometimes I think we feel scared and intimidated so much that we don't take action on anything because we think, well, I must not be in the right place. You've got to discount your feelings. Emotions lie to us. Discount your feelings in this scenario and just go on what you're doing. It's not about how you feel. It's about what you do. Number 10, remember, action builds confidence. The more action you take, the more confidence you're going to have. The more confidence you have, the more action you're going to take. It starts by simply starting. And then finally, step number 11 is knowing that action is a habit. Like all habits, it's uncomfortable at first. The first few weeks of doing something, the first 21 days of forming a habit are difficult. You have to be conscientious. You have to be intentional. You have to be thoughtful. But you know what? Over time, habits become easier. They actually become second nature. And so I'm here to tell you that the beautiful thing about taking action is that once you create a habit out of it, it's going to become part of who you are. And when it becomes part of who you are, you can do amazing things. Here's a baby action step that I want you to take right now today. And don't put it off until an hour from now. I want you to do it now. I want you to sign up for my free upcoming webinar that's called The Confidence Crash Course. I have nothing to gain from you signing up. This is 90 minutes of condensed confidence coaching that I'm giving to you. We've had hundreds of people sign up already. It's going to blow this confidence community up. And I really have prepared and put my heart and soul into making sure that I provide just the most information on how to really boost your confidence possible. And what you're guaranteed to learn is 5 proven tricks to instantly elevate your confidence. Instantly, things that you can do right now today. 3 exact step-by-step strategies on how to grow your confidence sustainably, how to create confidence as a habit, confidence and thereby action as a habit, and then over 100 more ways to really boost your confidence. So essentially, this webinar is my best tools on confidence because so many of you have asked, and I wanted to create a condensed way for everybody to participate in this webinar. The webinar is Tuesday, July 29th. You got an 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time option or 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time option. And you know what's even cooler? is because I value your time so much, I'm giving away a $97 bonus for just attending live. And so it's something you definitely don't want to miss. I want to pour into you. And the reason I want to pour into you is because I want you to know that what you're doing is worth it. That stepping out is worth it. If it wasn't, I wouldn't be so adamant about getting you in more resources to be more confident and to take more action. Because what you do matters. Your story matters. The impact that you can make on this world really matters to me. And I want to motivate you and keep you accountable to go and get out there and live out who you are meant to be. So to take action today, to get in the practice of taking action, like we said, to just start, all you got to do is go to trishblackwell.com/webinar. trishblackwell.com/webinar. So guys, it is now time for the listener of the episode. And if you ever want to be a featured listener of the episode, all you have to do is share your story with me. You can contact me via voicemail on my webpage. You'll see a little tab to the right when you land on my website, and you can leave a voicemail. It would be great to hear your voice. You can email me. My email is trish@trishblackwell.com. Really can't get much more simple than that. You can contact me via the contact form on my website. You could give me a shout on Twitter @TrainerTrish. You can hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/TrishBlackwellFitness. And you can even find me on Instagram. And yes, you know what? I just realized this today. Most of you probably don't know that I am on Instagram. I've kept it quite private, actually, because I just post pictures of my life, like myself, Brandon, we're hanging out. So if you're a big Instagram fan, I would love to hang out with you there. My Instagram handle is @TrainTrishTrain. So I'm looking forward to seeing you guys all there. But yeah, you can contact me anyway. And I want to celebrate what you're doing. I want to celebrate you conquering life with confidence and your small steps or your big steps. We're a community and I really care about what you're doing. So make sure you share so that I can share with everybody else that's out there. We have thousands and thousands and thousands of people listening right now. The numbers don't lie. I know you're out there and I know you've got a great story to tell. But let's focus on Megan here. Megan Douglas is our listener of the episode. She wrote me an email, and the email isn't necessarily even why I picked her to be a listener of the episode. But I want to share with you that she shared her blog with me on her email. And it's something I think would be really encouraging to a lot of you. Here's what Megan writes. I've been on a serious journey to regain health, sanity, mobility, self-respect, and ability to enjoy my life. I found your earlier podcast at a point when I was figuring out both my headspace and food parts of my equation, probably at about episode 5 or 6. The subjects hit home. Overwhelmed and exhausted, or keys to failure, pleasing everyone, are two of my all-time favorites. I listen to your podcast as I'm riding my bike to work. It's my time and beautiful scenery on the way. A 25-kilometer round trip and one leg of my transformation journey. Her website is megansmeltdown.com. It's spelled M-E-G-H-A-N-N-S, meltdown.com. And you know what's amazing about Megan? And you'll see when you go to her website. So I checked out the story. I'm thinking, this is great. So she really didn't tell me much. She just told me she's been a longtime listener. She found me at the right time. She's been encouraged. And she's got an awesome blog tracking her transformation. So I went to her blog. Guys, Megan has lost 144 pounds. 144 pounds. And more than that, she's up to swimming 800 kilometers every day in the pool. That's a half a mile. That's a half a mile in the pool. And for somebody whose goal was health and sanity and mobility, Megan's gotten her life back. And so Megan, I'm so proud of you. I'm so excited for your success. And know that the weight loss, up and downs of weight loss, is part of the journey. It's that perseverance, that persistence to keep on going that really is going to help you take that action all the way through to the end. And so I want you guys to know that I read what you write. I go and look at your sites that you share, and I'm so proud and honored to be able to get to be a part of this and of your story. So thank you for sending me everything you send. Keep sending me the stuff and keep celebrating yourself. And Megan, our hats are off to you. You have an incredible story, and I just want you to keep on keeping on. And guys, we're going to close out with just that final thought of what could you do? What would happen to your life if you said, "Hi, my name is blank, and I get stuff done"?
Thanks for listening. You can get more resources and coaching from Trish at www.trishblackwell.com. And if you love the show, please post a review in iTunes so that more people can join in on this community of confidence. Now, go conquer your day with confidence.